Welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host today, Kevin Finn, and today we have our Atlanta Tech Village special. I always look forward every month to this special. I love what ATV is doing. And we have Karen Houghton in the studio with us as usual. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, we love having you in here. Just tell us what's going on at ATV.
Well, Atlanta Tech Village is growing, and we are renovating. We've officially started a $7.5 million renovation to our building.
Wow.
So we have everyone, 309 members right now, and about 107 companies, and we're only on two floors, and we're already the largest co-working facility in the Southeast, and that's with two floors out of the five.
That is amazing. So talk a little bit about the renovations. I know you've talked about them before, but what's all going to be there when it's all done?
We're going to have a huge event space. Right now, even in our temporary event space, we have probably about two events every day, from member workshops, meetups, lots of cool learning opportunities, and we're going to have a full Octane coffee shop, so great local Atlanta roaster with great coffee and a rooftop bar area and lots of meeting spaces, usability lab, classrooms, and lots of office space.
I love that. I live right across from Octane in West Midtown, so I'll be hanging out at ATV a lot because my girlfriend works right next door to you guys.
I'm so obsessed with it. Yes,
it's so
we
great.
Can't wait.
All right. Well, who did you bring with us today that we're going to be highlighting?
We have some really great folks out of the village here, and I think it represents a good variety. So we have Diane Bloodworth with CSA, Competitive Sports Analysis, and they are awesome, especially right
now.
I
use them for my fantasy team.
I do too. They're great for fantasy football, and so I was like, Diane, please come. It's so great timing for the season. We also have Daniel here, and he's with Friendly Human, and they are in-house videographers, and luckily they are very friendly, and they do some great work, and I love their slogan. I'll have to tell you about it because they definitely shoot people. But it's in a nice way. We have Phil Hill with Flash Issue. He does email marketing, and he's one of our resident British men here. And he's got lots of great stuff going on, a lot of experience as an entrepreneur. We also have Mark Feinberg, last but not least, and he's with Uroot. And they have some great platform for crowdsourcing for different nonprofits and give back projects.
I'm glad you said Uroot so I know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with ladies first. Let's start with Diane. She's a veteran here in the Business Radio X studio. And how's it been going with competitive sports analysis?
It's been going great, Kevin. It's great to be back. As you know, we provide highly accurate predictive data for sports. And our first market is fantasy sports, and especially fantasy football. But our subscription base is growing. Our Twitter following is just blown up. We're really excited about that. And these are people that come to our site and use our product.
Well, how are things? We're about halfway through the fantasy season.
Yeah.
How are things going with that? How's everything been working out?
It's been working out great. We, you know, there's a couple of injuries and things we wish we could have predict, especially for you.
I know
you got a couple a couple of those guys on your league. So. But yeah, it's good. We're always looking at ways to improve our accuracy. We have a PhD student from Georgia Tech who looks at our algorithms, and she's doing some regression analysis right now because tight ends, we've been a little bit off,
mm-hmm.
so we want to improve that. But quarterbacks and defense and others, we've been knocking.
Yeah, you guys have been straight on. Well, tight ends are difficult because they can be like a wide receiver or sometimes. It's hard to really predict that.
It is, but we want to continue to get better. And kind of the exciting thing for us right now is we're also talking to some teams about providing this for coaches. So that's pretty exciting, especially when NFL team. And then also we're getting interest in licensing our data. You know, fantasy sports
Definitely.
Is so huge, and sports in general
it's
is
an
so
over
huge.
$1 billion business.
Exactly. So we've licensed data for a social mobile app, and we're looking at other opportunities to license this.
Okay. Well, walk me through how this would help a sports team out, because I find that really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So what we would do is really rate their players and scout the opponent as well, and we look for any weaknesses they could exploit, any mismatches, information that their scouts or their position coaches may not have seen. We'd also like to have an app to predict how well a recruit or a draft pick is going to fit into their system and their program. So that's something else we're working on right now that's pretty exciting.
Well, that'd be huge right there. That'd make it a lot easier for people to predict who would be a bust, who would be a good draft pick for their team, and also the matchup thing. People, they don't realize how much tape these players watch and how much research go into into a football game. They think it's not just throwing the ball and catching it. They research the defenses, what everything is there. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we were bringing on board someone who is a director of player personnel in the NFL. And what we've realized, too, is this will actually help us with our fantasy rankings, too. So the more we know, the better, right?
So how's it been an entrepreneur here in Atlanta?
It's great. It's great. You know, I moved here about 8 years ago from D.C., and at first I just felt like there wasn't as much support as I'd seen in Washington, D.C. for entrepreneurs.
Definitely.
But in the past 3 years, it's just taken off, and I love being at ATV. I mean, it's such a great system for us, such great support. I'm working with Daniel. He did our video, our Scout Zone video intros and outros. We're talking to Mark about a nonprofit board I'm on. So there's always so much synergy just with the people that sit around you.
Definitely. Well, tell me what the best part of being, other than the synergy of being at ATV. So,
you know, I just love the vibe. I've been in a number of co-working spaces, and I never felt like we belonged, that the company, it was a lot of attorneys and accountants, and for the first time, I feel like, hey, we really fit here, and this is great, and it really supports our growth, and I'm energized about going there every day.
Well, does it help with just being in a co-working space with ideas, and you can bounce stuff off? You're like, hey, what about this? Would this work out? And it sort of just gives you a good forum for information.
It does, and people are not shy about coming up and sharing their ideas with me or me sharing my ideas with them. I mean, sometimes I have to watch it a little bit because mm-hmm. you've got work to do, too. But, it's definitely, I believe, the goal of what you're trying to create, Karen, and you and David. It's happening.
Well, definitely. It seems like a constructive space where the people there, they're giving you feedback, and it's not to be mean or beat you down.
Oh,
it's
no.
to help you out and grow this kind of community. Because you guys are all startups. You're all in the same fight together, really.
Exactly. That's the thing. We relate to each other. We know the pain and problems we're going through, and it's just great to have other people, sometimes not even for ideas, but just to kind of commiserate with a little bit.
One of the things we started just the other, probably about 3 months ago, so we've done three of them now, is a members only kind of show and tell, and we do it just once a month. And just like Diane was saying, it's a really neat opportunity for members to just come together, and we have 3 to 5 companies just do a 5-minute pitch and then just followed by Q&A, and it's very informal and it's just for our members, but it's a really neat opportunity for folks to get in there and share what they're doing. And what I've been told from folks who have presented is that the Q&A, there's just so much brain power in that room at that time and resources and thoughts, that's a really neat opportunity for them to get feedback and lots of new ideas generated, new connections.
Well, definitely. I can see that very beneficial. So they get to pitch new ideas, too, probably.
Yeah, they can actually get up there and say whatever they want.
They might be like, well, I have a new app idea, and someone might point out, well, someone already has something like this,
and
this is how you can improve on it. That happens all the time. I love that. In the startup space, I love it. Everyone's very, they're always working towards new ideas, trying stuff, and it's like the Wild West of business is what I like to say.
Yeah, and we celebrate failure, too. You know, everyone who's working really hard, they're gonna meet roadblocks and things are going to happen, and that's okay. And so it's just about celebrating that, finding, you know, the new direction and the new pivot you can use.
Definitely. Well, if I've learned one thing from interviewing hundreds of different people and business people in the studio, is failure is key to success. You have to fail. The most successful people I've met have failed 6-7 times, but they keep trying something new until it works. So.
Yeah. You have to make failure matter.
All right, Diane, I want to go into this system. Tell people what they get when they sign up for this. I know it tells you what players to pick, but you guys have you've partnered up with people. You do like Fantasy Draft Wizard, all these different really cool features that why people should buy this.
Exactly. So we have 3 levels of subscription. One is a free level where you can get some basic data and a newsletter from us about who you should start and sit every week. The next level is a Scout Performer, and it has all of the weekly rankings for all positions, as well as a Trade Creator, which we're rolling out in the next couple of days. So it's time to start making some trades.
Definitely, I need to.
For those injured players. And then the highest level is the Scout Projector, and it includes all of the data, ability to import your roster from any of the major sites where people play fantasy football, like ESPN and CBS and Yahoo. And we optimize your roster, and in addition, you can also email Nelson, who's our high-stakes fantasy football expert, with your questions.
Definitely, and it's really easy to import your team is something that I found. I just had to fill out a couple of things. It took me maybe less than 5 minutes, and then all my teams from my Yahoo leagues are all imported in there, and I don't have to do anything, so it works great.
Thank you. Thanks for that. That's something we added this year, because when we optimized the roster last year, we didn't have all your league rules and settings, so it wasn't necessarily the optimal situation. So
definitely.
We're trying to fix that.
I love
that.
Your program. It's helped me in 2 of my leagues. I'm winning, and 1 I'm barely losing just because of injuries. So you guys are great. So what's next for you guys?
Well, I think it's taking this to the next level with the coaching data and the data licensing and continuing to enhance and improve the fantasy side, too. So we'll be busy.
Definitely. Well, how do our listeners reach out, sign up for the program?
Sure. Just go to scoutpro.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being back on. We love having you here in the studio, and I'm having a great fantasy season thanks to you.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Mark Feinberg, the co-founder and chief executive officer with U-Root. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin.
So tell us a little about U-Root.
Yeah, U-Root is a crowdfunding platform specifically for nonprofits and charitable organizations. We're a little bit different than a Kickstarter and Indiegogo in that we view ourselves as an enterprise solution for the nonprofits. So in addition to helping them raise money, we help them run their business more effectively.
Okay. Have you run into any trouble? I know the crowdfunding has become, I know legislation is trying to be put in place, and it's really a crazy space to be in right now.
No trouble on our end. We're a donation-based platform, so we don't run up against any of the equity issues that some of the other platforms are running into. So at least for the time being, we're steering clear of that.
All right. Well, go into this, how this works, how nonprofits sign up, and what kind of crowdfunding really it is.
Yeah, so you know, for a nonprofit, they come to our site. There's an easy way to you know, there's a get funding button. So you click that, and in five easy steps, you can set up a project. Very similar to a Kickstarter and Indiegogo. You set it up. It launches. It comes to us for approval first.
Mm-hmm.
We do some back-end verifications using some GuideStar, which is it allows us to see if the nonprofit is financially stable.
Okay.
We'll most of the time make a phone call just to kind of check out who the organization is. And then as long as everything checks out, it goes live. And you know, for them, it's you know, the platform makes it very easy to share on Facebook, on Twitter, through their social networks, and we also provide a number of donor outreach tools and different donor management tools, which makes the process a lot easier than some of the other platforms that are out there.
Definitely. Well, that sounds great. Does it offer anything for people who donate? I know Kickstarter has things for people. If you donate, you get that, a signpost or this or that for the project. And normally in nonprofit, you're donating, you get tax breaks for donating, and you also get to feel really good about yourself. But what else? Do they have anything special?
Yeah, so our platform, again, to go along the theme of how we're different, we're not only individual focused from the crowdfunding standpoint, because nonprofit giving is all about individuals, businesses,
yeah,
and
definitely
foundations coming together. So for the individual, there are perks similar to like a Kickstarter. But then for businesses and foundations, there's some meatier gives. So in some cases, there's naming rights. In other cases, there's access to different events, mention in the yearbook or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big difference for us in that our platform is appealing not only to the individual giver, but the business contributor as well as the foundation giver.
Huh.
And all of those are customizable. So we're also the only platform that allows you to turn off perks if you don't want perks. We have a point system. And why that's important is for certain nonprofits, they don't have the operational wherewithal to execute on a perk system. So we at least give the option to turn that off, which is big.
That is huge, really.
In the nonprofit space.
Definitely. Well, how do you get into this? How do you decide to drop everything and drop a real job and get into the startup space?
Yeah, it's been a personal journey, really. It's been about over the course of about 10 years. About 10 years ago, I felt like I needed to do more from a philanthropy standpoint. And, you know, I had volunteered and I had written checks and I just felt like I needed to do more. So it led down a path of studying charitable giving,
mm-hmm.
Which led me to online giving, which is the fastest growing part of the giving
space.
Well,
it makes it so easy.
It makes it a lot easier. It's growing double digits, where giving as a whole is basically flat. And the more I drilled down into it, the more I realized that there was some opportunity, both on the crowdfunding space, but also in the enterprise management space, that there was an opportunity to do some things better. And it's been about a 10-year process from when I first started thinking about it and studying the market to actually going out and doing it.
All right. Well, who's your ideal prospect for this kind of system? Is it any kind of nonprofit? It could be a really small one, a big one, or?
Yeah, it's really any nonprofit, big and small. So we, you know, the early projects we've launched have been with some smaller nonprofits. We're having some conversations right now with some larger nonprofits, both in terms of using our marketplace, but then also we're going to be rolling out a co-branded offering where they can take everything about our platform and embed it into their actual website. So it's, if anybody's familiar with the Donate Now button, which is one of the ways that giving is done, we're out to replace that. We're a lot more transparent, a lot more interactive, a lot more social. So you're going to start seeing our platform show up on nonprofit sites here soon.
Well, I like that right now. That's a huge trend I'm really into. And I won't say trend, but it's a great business practice is transparency right now, because people are so educated with the internet and they know stuff. And when people are trying to pull the tricks or do the swap outs, it's really a big thing.
Yeah, people are kind of, you know, exhausted over giving money and not knowing how it's spent. So we're sticklers for that being sucked out of the equation. We want people to know exactly where their money went at all times.
Well, that's really good, because I know there's some other platforms that people post their own projects, like help me with this or help this nonprofit, and there's a lot of scams going on, and that's really affecting the crowd funding space.
It is. So we've got another part of the platform, which is called our transparency workroom, which once the project is funded, it's an opportunity for the nonprofit and their donor to stay in constant communication, so they're not left guessing how their money was spent.
Mm-hmm. And you said earlier you guys run the nonprofits through a background check, sort of.
We do.
All right.
We do.
Well, do you have any kind of success story so far, or who's been using the platform?
Yeah, we do, and I'll talk about one in particular. One of the earlier projects we launched was with Ashford Park Elementary School, DeKalb County Public School, and they set out to raise $100,000 in 90 days. For an outdoor classroom and amphitheater, and excited to say that they raised $106,450 in 90 days. And, you know, they're, at least on everything we can tell, it's the largest opening raise for any new crowdfunding platform that's ever launched. So we're excited by that, and we're excited for them that they have the opportunity to actually execute on the program. And as far as public school funding goes, it's really unprecedented. There's not too many situations like that where you see, you know, a public school come together to raise that type of money.
Definitely. Is this just a platform that's going to be used in Georgia? Or are you guys going international? Or
we're not only Georgia, so we're open for business nationally. Atlanta and Georgia is certainly a big focus, but we are open for business nationally. International is in the plans, but that's probably more a couple years out.
All right, just for the nonprofits out there, is it more like a Kickstarter model that if you set a goal and you don't reach it, all the money gets funded back to everybody? Or is it more like Indiegogo, everything that you actually raise, you get to keep?
It's an all-or-nothing funding platform on the marketplace. So, you know, unless you meet your goal, nobody gets anything. They don't get the money. We don't get paid. There's no transaction fees. The reason we do it that way is tied down to transparency.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to know that their money went for exactly what they wanted it to go for. And there's a greater likelihood that if they don't raise all the money, that whatever it is they wanted to do doesn't happen. For the co-branded platform that I mentioned earlier, it's a monthly subscription fee.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, well, I find that crowdfunding doesn't really work if it's not an all or nothing, because it takes away from the pressure and people actually giving, and people can give whenever they want. So I think that's perfect that you guys are doing that. Yeah. So what's next for you guys?
Well, we want to continue to help the nonprofit that's out there trying to raise money. You know, there's a lot of great things that are being done in the nonprofit space. So continue to support the nonprofit, and then the focus on the co-branding offering is certainly a company focus. And we're seeing a lot of interest right now, especially from some of the larger nonprofits around the co-branding side of the platform. So we're going to continue to focus on growing that out.
All right. Well, before we wrap up here and get your contact information, do you have any information? I'm really curious about how you guys are replacing the donate button, and you talked a little bit about it, but I want to know more of a visual picture of what's going to be there for people on their websites.
Yeah, so if you think about, you know, instead of going to their site and seeing just a button that says donate now and it's a big black hole.
It's not a really call to action.
No, not much at all. You'll actually see specific projects that you're looking to raise money for. So similar to, you know, what our marketplace looks like, which is a number of different projects specific to the organization with the little bar that moves from left to right. There's going to be a lot of that. It's going to look exactly how the nonprofit website looks like. Somewhere in there, there'll be a Powered by UROOT line.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it will look very much like our marketplace, just deeply embedded into the nonprofit's website.
All right. Well, how has being at ATV really helped you guys out and grow?
It's been really great. You know, we've met a tremendous number of folks. I can tell you, Daniel, who's up next or soon to be, sitting across the table from me. You know, his office was right across the hall from ours. He and his group produced the first video for our first project.
I see a trend here, Daniel.
Yeah, all roads lead to Friendly Human. So that, you know, that was a great connection. Diane and I are forever helping one another, talking about different, you know, sharing information on investors, talking each other off the ledge when those moments come. And, you know, there's just been a number of contacts that have been made. You know, it's really been a tremendous place, and it's great for the city.
Okay. Well, how do our listeners reach out, learn more, and how do they spell U-Root? So.
Yeah. U-Root is U-R-U-U-T. You can go to uroot.com, U-R-U-U-T.com, and you could also send an email to info@uroot.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and I think what you're doing is great.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, Daniel, you've been teed up. So next on the show, we have Daniel Roberts with Friendly Human. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your platform. Obviously, you do video, and you help people out a lot at ATV. So
we do. We started as a video production company, and we've kind of been evolving into more persuasive storytelling for human-centric brands.
So why are you doing that? I have a little scar tissue there. I have a digital film and video degree, and I've been in that space, and I've seen a lot of production houses get shut down. They're just doing straight video. So talk a little about
that. Totally. I'm a marketer at heart. I grew up in video, and I love marketing. I always enjoyed that. And you're so right. I mean, Atlanta, when I started Friendly Human, Atlanta didn't need another video production company. It already had tons of great video production companies. Mm-hmm. What I thought is it might could use a friendlier one, yeah, and one more centered around marketing. And so we don't do weddings, we don't do baby showers, but we just do marketing videos.
All right, so I guess that's where the name came from, Friendly Human.
Yeah.
Bring people in. So there's no transparent thing that we're going to be friendly and nice to you. Talk about this persuasive storytelling you just mentioned. That sounds, I love that. It's a great buzzword. Did you guys create that? And
It's one of those things that evolved out of the experience that we had. It wasn't a phrase we could have come up with our first week. But after doing it for a few years, we realized this is who we are and this is what we're doing. And it basically comes down to the idea that branding has traditionally always been approached from a graphic design standpoint and mm-hmm. viewpoint. And if branding is really about storytelling, then why not approach it from a storytelling aspect?
Definitely.
And so we're taking these same frameworks that we've developed over the years and found and come across that really work to tell a convincing and persuasive story, and applying them from everything from branding to all sorts of different aspects of presentation design and customer interaction design and that kind of stuff, that really is fun to see how story can affect change in people's lives.
Well, walk me through an engagement, how you do that. I love what you said. Yeah, the graphic design element, they're all obsessed about, well, this typeface and that, and the normal person like me, I can't tell the difference between it. My girlfriend's a graphic designer, and she's like, oh, what's the difference? I have no idea whatsoever. So go into this. I love what you're talking about.
Oh, definitely. You know, I'm not a designer at all, and it's always scary. Thankfully, we've grown to the point that we have people on our team that can do that now, because that's not me. But it really is fun to sit down with the company and find out what the real problems are and the real challenges. We do everything from, I say we're a marketing company. This year we've taken on a client to do internal leadership training, okay, and organizational development side of things. And I really see that as selling ideas. That we just did a video for a theme park company for their leaders on encouragement. And it's really exciting to get to sell the idea of encouragement, that you need to encourage people every day. And those kind of things, they make the world a better place.
Definitely. So you just build a story sort of around that, and people learn just through just watching their engagements happen? Or
exactly. So Nancy Duarte, Duarte Design, gave this TED Talk, and I came across it a couple of years ago. And it blew me away because, you know, in any creative endeavor, sometimes you have great successes and sometimes it's good.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked at her framework, and we just had one that was a home run. And I noticed that her framework matched up exactly with that video. And from then, we started this journey of looking at what are some ways that are reproducible. And nothing has helped our company like that and our clients like that. So it's been great.
All right. So how are you guys going through the video process? Do you have a studio in town? I know you're at ATV. It's a growing, awesome space. But how do you guys do your videos?
So we do two types of videos. We do the custom side of videos, which is more traditional. We sit down, like what we did with Diane or Mark, and we'll sit down and find out what story needs to be told. Who's the audience? What are we trying to get them, move them from and to? And that's fairly traditional. We certainly have some unique processes around that. But the other side of what we do is called momentum video. And so early on, I had a client that we just did video en masse. We shot 82 videos in one day.
Wow.
And we released them 3 times a week. And in 4 months, he had so much traffic that we basically stopped releasing them because he's like, just don't put them anymore out there. I can't handle the business I have right now. And a year later, he was merged with another company and exited last year for $90
million. Oh, so wow. That's a great success story.
I should have made the videos for myself. But
but still, 82 videos in one day. I don't know how you
He was a machine.
That. Okay.
Yeah. But so we've taken that same idea. I saw how it worked, and I never could repeat that and make it cost-effective and scalable until a couple of years ago. We really started working with some things. And I realized the reason that people don't do consistent video is because of the same reasons that I don't work out. I go downstairs, I think it'll be too expensive, I think it'll take too much time, and then when I walk down to the gym in my condo, I don't know where to start.
Yep.
And those are the same problems with video. And so we're trying to take those things and take them away. And so that's the idea behind momentum video.
Well, that's a great concept, too, because we all know content is king, especially with this new SEO space and SEM going around. And this is a way that you can go out there, you can get your basic metaphorical workout all in one day, and then you have content for a really long time.
Oh, it's wonderful. We're in a temporary space at the Village right now. We've actually got a room to shoot, but we're building out a huge studio. And to be a block off 400 in Buckhead, we're not even on the mall side, so you don't have mall traffic. And to be able to just roll
and
in.
And a lot of parking, too, in Buckhead. So
exactly. And to roll in, and 90 minutes later, you've knocked out 6 videos. And you've got a whole month's worth of content, and to be able to release weekly videos that way for 80% less cost.
Well, that it's simple, too, because there's no time commitment. There's a one-day time commitment for that, right?
Exactly. We shoot 10 months of the year. No one wants to produce a video during the holidays, mm-hmm. So we skip the whole month of December. And then there's a few weeks here and there that you can choose to be out. And it really just makes it flexible and easy for everyone.
Well, I feel like that's a really easy thing to go to a company and be like, okay, here's the value proposition. And I bet a lot of companies just jump on that right away. They love that aspect.
It is. We just signed one up on Friday that's actually using it internally to train their sales team.
That is awesome.
$4 billion company, and they have a lot of salespeople.
All right. So is there a backstory behind Friendly Human, the name?
Oh, yes. It is a weird name. I was working for a company that was anything but friendly and human, another video marketing firm in town. And it was just interesting. I'd always loved Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I had a friend, Charles Lumpkin, here in town who kind of pushed me out to start my own company. And really, I just the domain name was available. So there's always that side of it, too, which
Definitely.
Is important. But it's been a great fit. And, you know, the funny thing is it's changed me as a person. Mm-hmm. When you have that as a company name, you have to live up to it. And I think my next company is going to be like arrogantjerk.com or something instead. It'll be much easier to live up to.
Exactly. So how's been ATV really helped you out? Have you really liked it so far?
Oh, my goodness. We've been there pretty much since the beginning. We were there before there was a coffee maker in the building.
So the chaos. You've been there since the chaos.
Yes,
so the Big
exactly.
Bang.
They're in the middle of the chaos.
We are. And it's been great. The two things that really stand out to me were the fact that they don't nickel and dime you. Mm-hmm. Once you're in, you're in. And I love that about it. If you want free coffee, free beer. I don't know if David Cummings can support my Red Bull habit. But
but you're going to test it.
I'm going to test it, exactly. And free snacks and the games and the event space is all just wonderful. And Karen and Aaron both do just an amazing job with that.
Definitely.
The other thing is the people there. I was there working late this last Friday night, and it just blew me away, some of the conversations I was having around the office. And I don't know of another place where you can find that many entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
who really get it and who are just that kind of energy in one location. It's really exciting. I'm kind of like you. You get to interview a lot of people.
Yeah, I do. It's great. I tell people it's better than a master's degree. So
it really is. I've been fortunate to interview hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the last few years, and I just don't know another space like the Atlanta Tech Village.
Well, obviously, you're helping out all the other people at ATV. Do you guys do any stuff for nonprofits or anything? Or
we do. We've been really fortunate as we've grown. We produced over 150 videos the first quarter this year. alone. And as we've grown with that has come the opportunity to give back more. And so things like, you know, we're sponsoring the Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association's award show this week. The American Marketing Association's award show back earlier this year, we were platinum sponsor at both of those. So that's kind of fun to, within our community. But also, like, you know, kind of more on the charitable side, I think my favorite project this year was with you, Root, and Mark. Doing the video for the Ashford Park School was just so cool to raise $100,000 and to get to work with great people and to see Mark's passion for... It was funny, we did this walk around before we did the shoot at the school, and seeing him out there, he may punch me, but he was almost tearing up at the thought of being able to raise this money for these kids. And that's what
it's all about, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's what I love about the Atlanta Tech Village, is that we definitely see ourselves as a startup there, not a vendor, but whenever we have the chance to work with someone there, then I already know it's going to be a great cultural fit.
Well, definitely, and just the mindset there is so great. All you guys want to become successful, exit and do a thing like David Cummings, and then give back. So that's that. I love that mindset that's at ATV.
Totally.
So what's next for you guys?
Oh, we're...
More videos?
More videos and more ways to do them. Testimonial videos have always been by far the most powerful form of video, but
definitely,
they're not sexy, they're boring, and honestly they suck to produce.
Yeah, I agree.
But at the same time, they're necessary, and so we've created, taken some of our momentum technology and leveraged that towards testimonials and come up with a testimonial assistant. And it's a way to break down, it's basically a web form that allows us to ask the questions before the day of the shoot.
Okay.
And by asking them early, we can go ahead and not have to ask all the questions at the day of the shoot, and be able to craft that story beforehand.
Definitely. Well, the hardest thing dealing with people, especially testimonials, is people, they're not used to being actors, so it's tough to get them comfortable and talking and having that conversation.
Definitely. And I think this contact beforehand, and we always do a phone call beforehand and that kind of thing, always help to create a form of a friendship before you meet them in real life.
Definitely. That's huge. So you were talking about earlier about these videos. Do you get, like, actors and stuff for these, or do you use real people, or how do you guys...
We use almost 100% real people. I'd say at least 98% are people from the companies. That's kind of our specialty, is getting people comfortable, relaxed in front of the camera. My idea for Friendly Human when we first started was this idea of relaxed portraiture, a great photographer that can just get you to be yourself. You forget he's in the
definitely
room and do that. And we wanted to apply that to video, and it's been a great ride to really get people's authentic reactions on camera, because I think it sells so much better.
Well, it's so hard to do too. So you guys seem like you've mastered the process, and you've been in the field so long. So I mean, people don't realize how hard it is to get someone to be organically themselves in front of a video camera. We found that we used to have video in here. We tried it out, and people just froze up. So we removed all cameras. So that's huge.
I wish you could meet George, my co-founder, but George has this ability to whether it's a child or an adult, just get anybody relaxed and.
We'll,
like
we'll have to have you guys back in the studio, maybe with a customer or something, just to talk more about it. So,
love to.
All right. Well, give us your contact information, how people reach out to you.
Oh, friendlyhuman.com. And my email is Daniel@friendlyhuman. And my phone number is 404-983-5417. That's
myself.
You're
brave, giving your cell out.
Why
all
not?
Right.
I already get enough spam. What's a little more?
Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Pat Hill, the founder and CEO of Flash Issue. And last but definitely not least, welcome to the show.
Hey, and it's Phil Hill.
Phil Hill? Okay, sorry.
Remember the racing driver, Phil Hill.
Yes, I do. I can't read. I'm a millennial generation, so we have trouble with that. So
it's the small type font.
Exactly.
But anyway, thanks for having me.
No problem. Tell us a little bit of Flash Issue and what you guys do.
Flash Issue is... I've got a passion for fixing problems I have in life. And,
it's a good passion.
It is a good passion. And this is my third go-round with a tech company. And the big issue I had here was in the very non-sexy space of email marketing.
It's a huge space.
It is, and it's really, really very boring when you normally speak to people about it at a party. But the issue I had was trying to get some social media content and blog content into a really simple email newsletter for personal branding purposes.
Okay.
It took me about an hour to do, and it really, yeah, I was copy pasting stuff into an email and then sending it out, and it didn't look right, and so on. So anyway, what Flash Issue does, it's a personal branding tool that allows people to get out their message through email a lot quicker and a lot simpler. And what we let you do is take blog content, give us a keyword, take social media content, and very rapidly turn that into something you can send out via email.
Okay, well, just break down some of the, sort of the features there that you can put in there. Does that include stuff like LinkedIn tags, all that kind of stuff that you can add up there?
Yeah, so it's primarily... So the biggest issue people have with doing email marketing is not knowing what to write.
Mm-hmm.
And that holds back a lot of people from sending anything out. Not only is it time-consuming, but it's also hard to write stuff. So if you come to the site, you just put in a blog address, or if you put in the BBC website, we will go out to BBC, strip all of the content out there, and summarize it into little nuggets. You can then drag and drop those each article into an email, shuffle them around, press preview, and send it out, and you're done in a few minutes.
So it's a magical content creator. That makes me sound very intelligent.
It is very magical, and only by going to the website and trying it will you know.
Definitely. Well, how hard is the back end of that? Because that sounds like it's very complicated to do that. It's a great idea. It's one of those ideas that's like, wouldn't this be great if we had this? And then you go talk to a programmer, and they're like, well, it's going to take all this kind of work to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, obviously we've got some pretty hardy technology. But when I initially had the problem, my first reaction was, why hasn't someone done this? It shouldn't be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The technology isn't, it's not rocket science.
Not at all.
But the part that we've struggled with and is, you know, where we've got most of our IP is we added an additional twist to this story. So not only solving the problem of not knowing what to write in email marketing was the issue, but then there was a big need out there. And my wife's a good example for this. She's an author. So she just released a book, The Get Real Diet. And... she wanted to market this book, and I'm like, well, send it out to your mailing list. Well, I don't have a mailing list. I'm like, well, who could you send it to? Well, I've got a Rolodex. I've got a contact address book. So she basically wanted to do it through Gmail. So mm-hmm. Now what we've done is integrated everything you get in these big, complex marketing email marketing programs into Gmail, so you can create mailing lists, you can track emails. We've built a new editor for Gmail, so it becomes a lot easier to design emails. And then you've got our whole suggestive writing, content curation part. And that's the part we've struggled with most, is the technology of building ourselves into a Google product.
Definitely. Well, talk about a little, some of the troubles that you've had, other than that, obviously, with this product so far.
I think some of the getting across to people from a messaging point of view, when you're dealing with such a generic pain, I don't know what to write, trying to persuade people that you can solve that for them.
That would be difficult.
It becomes glib in the end, especially when everyone is in marketing is saying, I can make it easier for you, I can make it quicker for you. So that's probably been our biggest challenge. I mean, once people use the product, it's a very hands-on thing. We're mm-hmm. lucky to be able to get people up and going in minutes, so they have a really big aha moment up front. And it's a lot of people say, this is what I've been looking for. This is so simple. So.
Definitely. Well, I'm sure you've had a lot of success because all the other email marketing tools out there, they're all cookie cutters and they're all trying to compete with each other. So they're basically carbon copies of each other, and this seems very unique and new.
Yeah, exactly. And that was something I didn't want to do. Is get, you know, I think there was 237 email providers at last count when mm-hmm. I counted them. So we do want to do something different, and the twist with Gmail is different. The twist with the content side is different. And that's where we're finding we're getting most response from, is those two things.
Well, definitely. Well, I want you to talk a little bit about, more about this content generation and how it works. I mean, the way you explained it was so simple and great. It was Star Trek-y.
Right.
So.
Well, let me give you I'll go back to Lindsay as well, my wife. She's mm-hmm. a nutritionist.
Yeah.
So she wants to send out something around nutrition. She doesn't have to think up what to write every single time. So you come to Flash Issue, you put in nutrition. We go out and find the most popular articles on nutrition for you. We'll give you 15 of them.
Okay.
You can then choose 5, drag them into your newsletter, shuffle them around, write some color commentary around it. You know, I love this one because it focuses on, gluten-free diets. I love this one because this is a great recipe. And you can just kind of glue together very rapidly content. It's then very simple for her just to send that out to 50 people she knows. She didn't have a mailing list of 2,000. She knows 50-100 people. So.
Well, the thing I really like about that is because there's a lot of successful people out there, but there's only so many those thought blog leaders that people follow. But this makes it go, I'm really successful. Here are the articles and stuff that I research and read, and I think this will be helpful to make you successful.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny, we're unearthing other user scenarios as well. I was talking to a guy who runs a very large nonprofit, and he sends out his big, glossy, nice email marketing piece once a month to their 10,000 their 10,000 customers. But he also wanted to quickly throw something together just for his board members. So he needed – there was only 12 board members. He wanted to just do that in Gmail again, but he wanted to track it. He wanted it to look nice, and he wanted to be able to bring in some external content and do it really quickly, so he was able to do that.
Okay, well, that's huge. How are you guys tackling the spam problem? I know we use big email marketing tools, and people will be like, yeah, we want to sign up for your newsletter, and we'll send out emails, and then for some reason they get caught in a lot of different to spam filters. Have you guys figured out a problem with or how to change that? Or?
Yeah, well, there's spam filters, and then there's Gmail's wonderful new Gmail tabs at the moment.
Yes, those are difficult.
Which Gmail seems to funnel everything of its own to the primary tab, and everything else goes to one of the hidden
tabs. Oh, really?
I'm being cynical, but there is part of that. So one of the beauties of our product, if you're sending from your own Gmail account, it's personal, so it actually goes to the right tab. The other thing is we tackle spam like every other spam provider. If you're sending out spam, you're going to get labeled as spam.
That's always good.
If you're sending out good, honest material to people you know who are going to need it, it's very unlikely you're going to get labeled as spam. From a technology point of view, the way we send out and deliver these emails, it's geared as much as we can possibly do not to have it labeled as spam. It's really then down to the content curator to get it right.
Well, that is absolutely great. How's being at ATMV? Obviously you've started a bunch of different companies and you're here at ATV. How's it helped and what's great about it?
I think the guys here covered off a lot. For me, it cures loneliness.
I love it. It is a big thing for startups.
Yeah, it is, and it sounds really sad, but I've got a remote team, so I've got a couple of guys in Israel, and then a couple of other guys in the US. So we don't really have the opportunity to sit around a table with each other. So the socialization of being in a hub where there's good energy and there's just people to talk to is great. And ironically, my ex-business partner from the last gig we did is got the desk right behind me.
Okay, that's really cool. So that's a cool little serendipity kind of thing.
It is. We'll probably start fighting again, but I mean, he's a really good friend. Well, but it's kind of funny us being in there, and it mm-hmm. really works. So I've now still got a relationship with him as well that I probably wouldn't have if I was at home.
Definitely.
Well,
if you have any disagreements, you can just fight over ping pong.
We could, throw something at each other.
Definitely. So what's next for you guys? Is the product finished? You guys roll out other
No, actually, the kind of the Gmail take on life with the product has just been launched last week. So really, we just want to keep going deeper and deeper on this and fixing more problems for kind of the personal marketing person, not the company marketing person. And we're being asked for lots of new stuff around that. So we really just got to go deeper into the editor, into images. A lot of people just want to be able to get social content into marketing material a lot quicker.
Well, I know that's huge. My bosses are going to be coming in here in probably about 30 minutes. I'm going to tell them about this. But this has been a huge, major pain point for us. So you found a really big problem. You're solving it for a lot of different people.
Yeah.
So
I just signed up for it right here.
You just did?
It's amazing, actually. Shocked at the articles that come. That was really cool.
Good. Yeah, you do get a good wow factor.
And it's fast. So.
I mean, if you want to go and check out the new product, it's not on our main website yet, but you can go to flashissue.com/next2013, and that's kind of a secret site where you can try the product out.
So, again, give us the contact information for your site, how people sign up for it.
Yeah, so it's flashissue.com, flashissue.com/next2013. 2013, and that will get you to the site where you can get all the real good latest stuff.
Well, Phil, thank you so much for being on the show, and I think what you guys are doing is great.
Great. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Karen, you must be beaming with pride. You always bring quality people for the ATV show. Are there really any that are not quality, though?
Not at all. Just as I sit here listening to everyone, it's a really neat thing. We do try to curate the community that we have, but there's just so much talent in this city and just such a unique sense of collaboration and community that we have, and I think it's worth saying, like with Daniel and Friendly Human, you know, we're four startups and we are a tech hub, but we do an 80-20% rule where we try to have 80% of the people in our community as tech startups. 20% are kind of like those service providers, or essentially people who may not be that tech, you know, startup, but they're people that we could really use and add to the community, and they kind of work as a resource. So they're not selling to the people in our community, but guess what? Everyone needs videos. We use them, and there's just a really great culture fit. So those people who are in there who aren't like a tech startup, they're really great for resources for the people who are in there, and they're always a great culture fit. And it was really neat to be able to sit here and see how we're all already connected and using a lot of the same resources.
Well, definitely. And everyone's doing something different too, but they're still creative. They're helping each other out however they can with ideas. And people are saying, well, here's my scar tissue. Here's what you can avoid this problem. It's a really great community.
And it's a lot. I mean, there's so many smart people and there are a lot of great ideas. You know, we're staking claim and causing disruption in Atlanta. And one of my new favorite things is we actually have a pirate flag on top of our building right now. So if you go by Piedmont and Lennox and look up, there's a pirate flag. And I think it's just neat that, you know, that's what we're doing is causing disruption.
It definitely is. Well, I wish we had a studio there because there's always such great interviews and content that we get here doing these interviews. I wish we could do them daily. There's just so many people doing great things. So
we'll come back whenever you want us.
Definitely. Well, every month we love having you guys on, and we love the startup space because we're a startup as well. So, yeah. All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.